Good morning, Vanguard Church. Good morning to those of you joining us online, to those of you joining us later. Good morning to our visitors this morning. There are some visitors in the house. I'm so glad that you're here with us today. You know, today I am here speaking as your senior pastor's wife. And I'm not here because I'm perfect. Not here because I've got it all together. I'm not here because I've got it under control. I'm here because this is where God wants me to stand this morning. And so I come to you in that humility to talk to you about what God has for us today. And I speak this over Vanguard Church, all right? I speak this over Vanguard Church. Today is a day of new beginnings. Are you all with me?
Amen.
Today is a day of new beginnings. Are you with me?
Amen.
Today is a day of new beginnings. About 19 years ago, this month, I stood in T6. That's where the coffee shop is now. And I was expecting, Pastor Kelly's in my fifth child, and nobody knew about it. It was our secret. And I was in worship, and Pastor Richie Fike was our worship pastor at the time, and he had written a song called Worshiper. And the lyrics went like this: I am a worshiper, journeying onward in spite of all I've lost. I'm a believer, a mercy receiver, and I'll trust in the grace of the cross. And as I sang that song that morning, the Lord said to me, your baby's name is Journey. Now, if you know anything about the Williams family, our onomastic structure for names does not include a name like Journey. This had to be of the Lord. So the way we name our babies, we got an entirely different formula, okay? It doesn't include these really cool names like Journey. But that was the name that the Lord said for this baby. And 7 or 8 months later, there she was. She was born, our Annika Journey Grace, which means journey of grace upon grace. And she is our living reminder of the way that God wants every single one of us to live. He wants us to journey onward. Now, sometimes, maybe most times, that's really hard. It's a really challenging thing. And I want to share with you, as your pastor's wife, where I am coming into this message this morning with a lot of different pieces. Because journeying onward, when we journey onward with what God has entrusted to us, one thing's for sure, the enemy's going to come against us. Wednesday morning, I awakened with a dream, a vision. This past 6 months or so have been a really difficult time for my husband and I, for this church. I know it's been really difficult for many people in this room, many people watching online. And one thing I have to say about this last 6 months is that we have felt the presence of God. Your senior pastor, Kelly Williams, he has gotten up, I'm pretty sure, about 3 a.m. every morning for about 3 months. I haven't seen it. I've just felt the bed move and I've rolled over and gone back to sleep. But he's gotten up and spent time with the Lord morning after morning. I'm a little bit behind him. I'm more at the 6 o'clock crowd, spending time with the Lord. But multiple times before I wake up, have awakened, God has spoken to me in dreams, in visions. It's been like unlike any other season in my life. I'm going to talk to you next weekend about one of those dreams, one of those visions he gave me, and I'm so excited about that. But this last Wednesday, he gave me a dream, a vision that was unlike anything I've ever seen. And I dreamed that Pastor Kelly was captured, and he was laid out in front of me. And I was sitting in the dream on this side of him. His head was here, his feet were here. And right here, there was a torturer, and the torturer was holding a sharpened knife. And the edict was that he, our senior pastor, my husband, our spiritual leader, was to be cut every day until he died. And I was supposed to stay here sitting. You can imagine how horrifying that dream was. And I want you to know I'm tired of remaining seated. And I looked at that torture, and I might have said a thing or two. And I got up, and I went to my husband's feet, and I knelt down to hold him while this cruel edict happened. And my husband was sliced from the groin up to his shoulder on both sides. It was a horrifying dream, because it wasn't just that moment in the dream. It was declared that that was going to happen till he died. And I woke up, and you can imagine what I was feeling. And I immediately started to journal, and I was like, Lord, is that dream symbolic of what's happened to us in the last 6 months? Lord, is that symbolic of what we're about to go through more? And Lord, is that dream symbolic of what is physically happening to a pastor and his wife somewhere in the world? And I just cried, and I cried, and I cried. I cried for us. I cried for that pastor. I cried for his wife. I had prayer meeting at 6:30 after that, and I told them a little bit about that and processed it. I didn't tell Pastor Kelly till a couple days later. And then this morning, he texted me, and he sent me a picture. It says, alert. Missionary kidnapped in Niger, believed to be headed for area where ISIS and Al-Qaeda are active. And he said, maybe this is the pastor God showed you in your dream to pray for. And I can tell you, I've cried more. Vanguard, today we change. Today we change, and we're not taking it sitting down anymore. So I invite you to stand. If you're able to stand, Matt, raise your hand. Stand. Stand. If you have a real relationship with Jesus, stand. I want us to pray for this pastor. I want us to pray for this missionary in Niger as he has been captured. Maybe he's the one physically in the dream, laying there right now, stretched out by ISIS, by Al-Qaeda, and maybe his wife is the one at his feet. Will you pray with me? Lord God, I don't want Vanguard Church to be the same. I don't want to be the same. Our family doesn't want to be the same. Lord God, we want to be different. We want to be changed by 2025, Lord. We want to follow you stronger, braver, more courageous. We want to pray harder. We want to intercede more. We want to live louder, not for ourselves, Lord. You know, not for ourselves, but for you. God, today, as Vanguardians, we lift our hands in prayer. And as our brothers and sisters in Christ all together, God, we pray. We pray for this pastor who's been kidnapped, Lord God. And we ask you for strength. We ask you for peace. We ask you for courage. We ask you that you give him resolve. And God, if his wife is there with him, if his family is there with him, God, surround them with your angels. God, do what only you can do. God, hear the cry that is uplifted in this place on behalf of this brother and other brothers like him. God, the enemy doesn't like it when we live for you. We're tired of taking it sitting down. God, we stand and we worship you. We proclaim you holy, like our worship team just led us in, and we lift our hands in prayer and we say, God, do something. Do something. Our eyes are set on you. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Yes. Thank you. You may be seated. In this season, I've spent a lot of time with the Lord, trying to work on my heart, on my own walk with God, to be able to keep taking the steps, to keep moving forward. I'm continually reminded of this theme, our journey grace, journeying onward, journeying onward. But how do we do that? How do we do that? When I look at our lives, I see at least three options. I see that when we face hard times, Kennedy, we can do one of three things. We can go backwards. We can go backwards. We can be who we were before we started walking with the Lord, before we started leaning hard into him. We can go backwards and just, you know, do all the things. We can stay where we are, which is basically going backwards, but we can stay where we are. We can hunker down. We can, you know, set up the altar to ourselves and just take care of our lives, our families, our things. Or we can journey onward. We can journey onward. I don't know where you are this morning. In this service, I sense that many of us are coming into this service from many different directions. Wherever you are today, you have a choice facing you, just like I believe every generation of God's people have had a choice facing them. The choice is to go backwards, the choice is to remain, or the choice is to journey forward. I love what our pastoral leadership team member, Candace Kovac, said. I've heard her say this multiple times in the last 6 months. She says, forward is the only direction you've got. Forward is the only direction you've got. So today we face this choice, like generations of God's people have faced this choice. And the Bible says in Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14, but one thing I do, can you hold up one finger? One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. So that's our choice that we face today, Vanguard Church, brothers and sisters in Christ. That's our choice today. Will we press on? Will we journey toward that upward, higher calling of God? See, this choice is the same choice that the people of Israel had way back in Ezra chapter 8. Now, just so you know the historical context, if you remember, I don't know, 5 weeks or so ago, I got to speak to you about Ezra chapter 3. That was the first return from Babylon, where the people had the opportunity to go back to Israel. So Israel had been destroyed by the Babylonians. They sat in exile in Babylon for decades. And then finally, there was that first group that was invited to go back to Jerusalem. And those were the courageous ones that went there first. And that's what we've been studying about the past weeks here at Vanguard Church. Well, 80 years later, King Artaxerxes gave another opportunity for the people of Israel to return to Babylon. See, when that first group went to Babylon, not everybody went with them. Some, they found it easier to go backwards. Some found it easier to stay in Babylon. They decided, that's too risky, that's too hard, not going there, not taking that step of faith. So they stayed in Babylon. But God is so merciful, because King Artaxerxes rises to the throne. And as we saw last week in Ezra chapter 7, he offered this opportunity for them to go. Now you have to know that the oldest amongst this second group of returnees, they were the little ones when the first group left. These were the ones who were maybe 5 years old, maybe 10 years old. Like, this is 80 years prior. They were little. If they remembered the first returnees, they were tiny. But their parents didn't take them to Jerusalem. Their parents didn't lead them out of Babylon. Their grandparents didn't say, I'm taking this one with me and go. They were the ones that stayed put in Babylon, but now they have the opportunity to return to Israel. And those people that I think were maybe 85 years old, maybe 90. Were there any 100-year-olds in there? Who knows? Only the Lord knows. They said, we're not staying put. This is our moment. This is our time in history. So they gathered their people and they began preparations to make the 900-mile journey themselves to Jerusalem. That's where we pick up today in Ezra chapter 8. So this is 458 BC. I think that's pretty amazing that we can know that. 458 BC, and look what happens. Ezra chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. These are the heads of their fathers' houses, and this is the genealogy of those who went up with me. Pause for just a moment. This me in this passage, the I, is Ezra. So he's been writing about the history up to this point, but now he has entered the story himself as a character. So the me, the I, is Ezra as he leads the people. This is the genealogy of those who went up with me from Babylonia in the reign of Artaxerxes the king, of the sons of Phinehas, Gershom, of the sons of Ithamar, Daniel, of the sons of David, Hattush, of the sons of Shechaniah. And he goes through this list of names of fathers and sons and grandfathers and grandsons, and he gives us a number. And we get to verse 14, and we see, I counted them all up, 1,496 men plus Ezra said, I'll go. I'm going to go. I'll get out of Babylon. I'm ready to take my family. So the question for us is, how do we journey onward? How do we get a move on from wherever we're stuck? How do we journey onward? Here's point number one. Invite the people. Accept the invitation. You're invited to go somewhere. And we see in these first verses, we see these names and these numbers. And we see in this that every person matters. Every person is counted. Now, I have to say this. In this genealogy, only the men are named. But here's what I want you to know, Vanguard Church. I am so grateful for the godly women throughout history, because behind every great man, there is a great woman. Can guarantee you none of those men would have gone up if their wives were throwing a fit saying, I'm staying in Babylon. They went up as families, as leaders, as communities saying, we're going to go after what God has for us. I want to take a moment and I want to give a shout out to a few specific women at Vanguard Church, because here's the thing, Vanguard, there's amazing male leadership in this church, but this church would not exist today without three specific women. And as the co-founder of Vanguard Church, I can say this with all assurity, and I want this to go down for the record. Vanguard Church would not exist this morning without Jenny Erlin, Danelle Smith, and Candace Kovac. That's the truth. Praise God for godly women. Praise God for godly men. Praise God for those who say, you know what? I'm going to accept the invitation and I'm going to go where God is inviting me to go. That's what these 1,497 men and their families did. They said, we're going to take the opportunity and we're going to follow God. We're going to risk. We're going to go where he says to go. Friends, do you know what a vanguard is? A vanguard is the group that says we will go first. These were the first of their generation that said yes. And it impacted children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and generations to come. Will you do that? Will you be that vanguard? The text continues. Verse 15, I gathered them to the river that runs to Ahava, and there we camped 3 days. Now, that word Ahava in the Hebrew, that Ahava was a waterway. It was a river. It was a creek. It was some sort of water. We don't know geographically where it was, but we're pretty sure it was a tributary of some sort off of the Euphrates River. The really cool thing I saw in studying is that the Hebrew word for Ahava here is very similar to the Hebrew word Ahava that means love. It's one letter difference. And I find it really interesting that when we we're here for one reason and one reason only, because we love the Lord. We love the Lord. We love him. We love the body of Christ. We love the church. And Ezra led them to gather at Ahava and camp for 3 days. I think that's pretty cool. We've got some Vanguardian men who are camping for 3 days this weekend. Shout out if you all are watching the service. As I reviewed the people and the priest, I found that none of the sons of Levi. Then I sent for Eleazar, Ariel, Shemaiah, Elnathan, Jarib, Elnathan, Nathan, Zechariah, and Meshulam. I do not have time to tell you the meanings of all their names, but there is so much in their names if you have time to research that later. But here's the thing. These were leading men. and for Joab and Elnathan, who were men of insight. And I sent them to Iddo, the leading man at the place Casiphia, telling them what to say to Iddo and his brothers and the temple servants at the place Casiphia, namely to send ministers for the house of our God. And by the good hand of our God on us, they brought us a man of discretion of the sons of Mahli, the son of Levi, son of Israel, namely Sherebiah with his sons and kinsmen. Verse 18, 19, also Hashabiah with him, Jeshiah, the sons of Merari with his kinsmen and their sons, besides 220 of the temple servants whom David and his officials had set apart to attend the Levites. So here's the thing. Ezra gathered all these people who accepted the invitation to journey onward. And it was an amazing crowd of people. We could imagine them camping there. They got their knapsacks. They got their carts. I don't know, whatever they had back in 458 BC. They're all gathered there, and he's looking out across this crowd, and he's inventorying the people. He knows their names. He's numbering them, and he's like, wait, we have a problem. We need spiritual leaders. How do we journey onward with the Lord? We gather spiritual leaders. We gather spiritual leaders. I love the specifics that he was looking for. Leading men, men of insight, ministers in the house of God, people of discretion, people set apart. They were specifically looking for men, but here's the thing, Vanguard Church. We're looking for a few good people who are here to minister in Jesus' name. The thing about the ancient people of Israel, the Levites were given this opportunity because they were born into it by blood. But here's the thing. We're born again into it by the blood of Jesus. And if you have a real relationship with Jesus, this is what Scripture says about you. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So here's what I want to say to you. Can we get a few good men? I'm sorry, can we get a few good men? Let me ask it again. Jonathan, can we get a few good men? Yes. Can we get, let's go. That's right. That's right, Dwayne. Can we get a few good women? Amen. Amen. You see, that company of people, those travelers, those people willing to journey onward, they could not go until they had their spiritual leaders. And as we declare a new day at Vanguard Church, we're not going anywhere unless you all decide. Every single one of us decides, I am called by God. I have a mission. I have a reason for being here. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I am not standing up here because this is easy. I'm not standing up here because I'm paid the big bucks. I am not standing up here because this past months have been a cakewalk. I'm standing up here because I love the Lord and he's called me. And as I look in your faces, if you have a real relationship with Jesus, I know he's called you too. Vanguardians, if you're here with us this morning, I'm pretty sure you are a Vanguardian. He's called you. He's called you. He's set you apart. He's given you a place to minister. He's given you a reason to serve. He wants to pour more insight on you. He wants to give you more discretion. He wants to give you the spiritual gifts. If you're a visitor here this morning, I'm pretty sure he's got a place he has for you to minister as well. He wants every single person in his body to be a minister. That's what Scripture tells us. Look what Ezra says. As he continues in verse 21, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava. Remember, what does Ahava mean? That river of love. They're like, we're going to sit here a moment. We're going to take a fast that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from him a safe journey for ourselves, for our children, and for all our goods. Then he continues with this very honest admission. I was ashamed to ask the king for a band of soldiers and horsemen to protect us against the enemy on our way, because we had told the king, the hand of our God is for good on all who seek him, and the power of his wrath is against all who forsake him. So we fasted and we implored our God for this, and he listened to our entreaty. You know, normally before you go on a really long hike journey, especially if you're going by foot, you're probably going to like load up on carbs, right? You're going to eat everything you can possibly eat. But as they sat by the River Ahava, they did the opposite. They did a fast. They did a fast. And here's why they did a fast. We saw back in chapter 7 that King Artaxerxes gave them all the silver and gold in the land of Babylonia. That's pretty incredible to me. I can't imagine he gave all of it, but that's what scripture says. He gave them a lot. So here we have this group of people. They are all gathered together. Now we have our spiritual leaders and they're with them, but they have all of these treasures and they probably needed some protection, right? They probably needed some protection. But Ezra said, we've already given glory to God that he's going to protect us. So people, here's what we're going to do. We're going to fast and we're going to pray. We're going to seek him, the God of heaven, the Lord of the universe. We're going to seek him for that protection. So how do we journey onward? Here's point number 3. This is what we do. We fast and we pray. We fast. We pray. You know, the Lord has been talking to me a lot about prayer recently. A few weeks ago, he awakened me with a vision for prayer, and I'm going to talk to you about that more next week. We're going to do a huge prayer endeavor at Vanguard Church. I'm going to talk to you about that next week, and I'm going to show you how we're going to do that. But here's my challenge for you. Begin talking to God about prayer this week. Start listening to his voice about how he wants you to fast and pray. And here's what I want to tell you. As the wheels start turning and we begin a new day here at Vanguard Church, something different happened this morning. We started the pre-launch of our boiler room. Anybody know that terminology? We're going to have a boiler room here at Vanguard Church. We are going to gather together to pray in a new way. And this isn't just for the super spiritual or the really religious or those that have, you know, known Jesus forever, those that went to seminary, those that are on staff. No, this is for every believer. And this morning we gathered in the little room that's been set apart for now to be a boiler room. And we started interceding the next level for this church. We're going to change the way we pray. We're going to change the way we pray. Lisa, thank you for leading that. Thank you for inspiring me by the way that you pray. We're going to uplift like never before. We're going to fall on our faces like never before. We're going to stand up and raise our hands in prayer like never before. We're going to do the things because we're not staying the same, Vanguard. We're not staying the same. And for Ezra, before he led them out on the journey, he said, we're going to fast and pray. And that's what they did. Look what happens next. Because they fasted and prayed, imploring God to help them on their journey onward. That journey, to be clear, was 900 miles. It would end up being 4 months. It would be an incredibly difficult journey, but they prepared for it spiritually. We pick up in verse 24. Then I set apart 12 of the leading priests, Sherebiah, Hashabiah, and 10 of their kinsmen with them. And I weighed out to them the silver and the gold and the vessels, the offering for the house of our God, that our Lord, our God, that the king and his counselors and his lords and all Israel there had offered. I weighed out into their hands 650 talents of silver, and silver vessels worth 200 talents, and 100 talents of gold, 20 bowls of gold worth 1,000 derricks, and two vessels of fine, bright bronze as precious as gold. And I said to them, you are holy to the Lord, and the vessels are holy. And I just want to stop here and say, Vanguard Church, you are holy to the Lord. You are holy to the Lord, brothers and sisters. And what's been entrusted to you is holy as well. The silver and the gold are a free will offering to the Lord, the God of your fathers. Verse 29, guard them and keep them until you weigh them before the chief priest and the Levites and the heads of the fathers' houses in Israel at Jerusalem within the chambers of the house of the Lord. So the priest and the Levites took over the weight of the silver and the gold and the vessels to bring them to Jerusalem, to the house of our God. Now we begin to see why this fast was such a big deal. Because you see, it wasn't just their personal safety or their family's safety. They were entrusted with an enormous amount of treasure. As I was studying for this message, I looked up different studies and commentaries to see how much this treasure was worth. And then I wanted to get a little more specific. So I wrote this message on September 23rd, and I looked up what gold and silver prices were on September 23rd. And I studied to see, you know, about how much do all these things weigh? And as I did the math for each of these items, now the bowls, who knows how big the bowls were, so I had to set the bowls aside. But those that were given an assignment, a measurement, I multiplied those weights out by the price per ounce for gold, for silver, and this is what I came to. I'm going to read this to you. 502,640,000 worth of treasures. Over $500 million of treasure was entrusted to them. I was blown away by that. Thing is, you've been entrusted with treasure far greater than that. You have. God has entrusted you with your children, with your grandchildren, with your friends, with your parents, with your loved ones. God has entrusted to you the lives of other Vanguardians, other people in the body of Christ and those that he sends your way. That's treasure far beyond gold, far beyond gold. And look at what it says in verse 29, guard them and keep them. I love the Hebrew words that are behind those two words, guard and keep, shakar and shamar. I was laughing with Jenny about names of animals. Those have been names of animals on our farm because we love these words so much. These words mean to be vigilant, to preserve. What are you called to guard and keep? How do you journey onward? Here's how. You steward what God's entrusted to you. You guard and you keep what God has entrusted to you. Vanguard, God has entrusted people to us. I had a really meaningful conversation a couple weeks ago with a man who's somewhere here in the house. Maybe he'll hear my voice. And I was talking to him about the fact that at Vanguard Church, we don't fight against each other's families. We fight for each other's families. In the name of Jesus, we fight for each other's families. We agonize in prayer for each other's children. We agonize for the prodigals. We don't judge them. We stand in the gap, and when we see them ignoring God, doing whatever they're doing, and we run into them, we love on them. We hug them. We fight for them. We go to court with them, and we intercede for them. We stand in the gap for them. That's who Vanguard is. We don't drop kick each other's families around here. I'm sorry, Vanguard Church. If that's what you've come here for, there's the door. Because in this house, yeah, in this house, I'm going to stand in the gap for your family, for your prodigals, for your loved ones, for your friends, for your neighbors. And I know that those who are sitting here are going to do the same for me, because we're going to guard and keep what God has entrusted to us. You know what else God has entrusted to us, Vanguard Church? God has entrusted to us Vanguard Tri-Lakes. That's our sister church up in the Monument area. Do you want to know why Vanguard Tri-Lakes exist? Do you know why its doors aren't closed? We didn't go running? Why we've sacrificed for it? Because God entrusted it to us. He entrusted it to us. He told me 2 years ago this month, he said, you fight for Vanguard Tri-Lakes. You fight for the existence of that church. You do whatever it takes to breathe life into Vanguard Church Tri-Lakes. Does that make sense in the human realm? No. I've lost so much for that church. But I'm going to guard what God's entrusted to me until he says, let go. In Vanguard Church, that is why Vanguard Tri-Lakes exist, because we believe that God has a purpose for that church. We believe God's doing something in that church. They're just now finishing cleaning up their service right now as they are in rented space. We're going to guard and protect that as long as God gives us breath, Jenny. Do you know what else God's entrusted to us? He's entrusted this building to us. It may not be fancy. It may not be all that we want or that it could be, should be, whatever. But this is a place and a space that God has entrusted to us. God has entrusted so many things. He doesn't just entrust people. That's his greatest treasure that he gives us. He also entrusts us with material goods. And that's what we see in this passage. So what are we going to do as we journey onward? We're going to keep that which he's entrusted to us as we trust that he's going to keep that which we have committed to him. The passage goes on. The passage goes on. And I want to say that up to this point, everything about this text that I've talked about has been about preparation. All of this is by the River Ahava as they're going camping, as they're doing their fasting, as they're counting, as they're figuring everything out. Everything has been preparation and prayer up to this point. But now, verse 31, the action begins. Then we departed from the River Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go to Jerusalem. The hand of our God was on us, and he delivered us from the hand of the enemy and from ambushes by the way. And I have to say this. There's the hand of God, and there is the hand of the enemy. There is the hand of the enemy because the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And wouldn't we love to know the backstory of what happened there in verse 31, where the hand of God delivered them from the hand of the enemy. Thing is, the hand of God is good upon all those who seek him. And the powerful hand of God is still over Vanguard Church today. And we're here and we exist and we're still living and breathing as a church because the hand of our God has been upon us. And I praise him for that. I praise him for that. Verse 32, we came to Jerusalem, and there we remained 3 days. It struck me in the first service when I read that it's been 3 days since a very difficult day on Wednesday. 3 days. 3 days. 3 days of reflection, 3 days of tears. 3 days of trying to figure out how we're ever going to take another step forward. 3 days of the enemy saying, you should just quit. 3 days of the enemy saying, you ain't good enough. 3 days of the whispers, the lies saying, why do you even try? 3 days of everything coming at us, coming against us, tempting us to go elsewhere, tempting us to go backwards, tempting us just to stay put. Ignore the rest of the world. Anybody relate to me? I know at least a few do. That's what the enemy's been doing to me. But look what the people of God did. They came to Jerusalem and they remained 3 days. And then they got busy. I love this. On the fourth day, guess what today is? It's the fourth day. It's the fourth day. On the fourth day, within the house of our God, where are we? In the house of our God. The silver and the gold and the vessels were weighed into the hands of Merimoth, the priest, son of Uriah, and with him was Eleazar, the son of Phinehas, and with them were the Levites, Jozabad, the son of Jeshua, Noadiah, the son of Binui. The whole was counted and weighed, and the weight of everything was recorded. After 3 days of a deep breath of, oh, Lord, you brought us safely 900 miles in 4 months, they took a deep breath. They rested. I know that we've got guys that are resting, camping 3 days, but then they got up on the fourth day and they accounted for everything and everybody. They did their due diligence. And Vanguard Church, I am so thankful that we are a church of integrity. We are a church of honor. We are a church of due diligence. I am so thankful for Danelle Smith, wherever she is in the building right now, as she keeps track of every number of at the PLT, as I just saw Jenny pointing. Is Danelle in here? Is she here? Ah, there she is. Every penny weighed, counted for, accounted for. This is a house of truth. This is a house that stands in integrity. No matter what the lies of the enemy are, we are a people that, like Ezra's people, do the due diligence. We do the due diligence. At that time, those who had come from captivity, the returned exiles, offered burnt offerings to the God of Israel. You see, friends, it's not just about accounting for everything and the due diligence. That's amazing and huge and so important. But the people of God, they didn't stop there. It's not just a business matter. The church is not just a business matter. We are here for one reason. That's to worship the Lord. And that's true of the houses of our lives as well. We're here. We have to take care of the things of life. We have to pay our bills. We have to figure out how we're going to do all the things. But we're here. We're here to worship the Lord. Anybody with me on that? Amen. Amen. So at that time, those who had come from captivity, the returned exiles, offered burnt offerings to the God of Israel, 12 bulls for all Israel, 96 rams, 77 lambs, and as a sin offering, 12 male goats. All of this was a burnt offering to the Lord. They also delivered the king's commissions to the king's satraps and to the governors of the province beyond the river, and they aided the people and the house of God. When they arrived, they put first things first. They put first things first. So what about us? What about us? How do we journey onward? We go where God's calling us. We go where he's calling us, where he's leading us. And along the way, we're mindful of him. And when we get there, wherever there is, we put first things first. Oh, Vanguard Church, in this season, as we continue to talk about re-beginnings, as your senior pastor's wife, my heart for you, for every single one of you, Vanguardians and visitors who love Jesus, don't be the same. Don't stay where you're at. Keep becoming whom God has called you to be. Go where he's called you to go. Put first things first. I love that in this passage, they offered burnt offerings. And I can imagine some of those burnt offerings were for thanksgiving, were for praise, were for celebration. They had just survived a 900-mile journey. Just for perspective, that would be like you leaving church today, gathering your knapsack, grabbing your little one, putting him in the baby carrier, maybe grabbing your wagon, putting stuff in it, and starting walking to Chicago. Like, that's what this is the equivalent of. They didn't have trains, planes, and automobiles. Celebration for what God had brought them through. But we also see here in this passage a sin offering. And here's the truth. Even when we journey onward with the Lord, none of us gets it perfect. None of us. There's not a single person in here who's done it perfect. In the past 3 days, I've had to continue to clean the house of my heart. I've had to ask forgiveness. I've had to examine myself. I've had to look in the depths of me, because the problem is, when I come out of Babylon, I bring some of it with me. And I have to keep doing the house cleaning so that I'm the person that God wants me to be. And I'm pretty sure every single one of us has to do that when we go where God wants us to go. Vanguard Church, I'm going to tell you who we are. We are a house that fights for each other's families. We're a house that's going to live with discretion and honor. We are more and more going to become a house of prayer. We are going to be the house that asks God to fight our battles and courageously stands with Him as the vanguard. We are going to be a house that values truth and completely turns our backs on lies and deception. We're going to be a house that stands up and says, we're going to keep being the first in battle. We will charge the gates of hell so that we can get back the prodigals and we can get back those that have walked away. Yes, hand for God. We're going to be the house that says, I love your children as much as I love mine, and I will agonize with you in prayer for those children. We're going to be a house that rejoices when the sinner comes home. We're going to be the house that proclaims grace and mercy and truth and forgiveness. We're going to be the house that apologizes when we get it wrong, and we're going to stay in the game, Vanguard. We're not going to be hirelings that run away, even if we're stretched out. And the enemy has that sharpened blade, and the edict is that we are cut every day for the rest of our lives. We ain't backing down. Amen. We're not laying down, accepting whatever. We're going to stand in the name of Jesus for all that He's entrusted to us. Friends, that's what it means to journey onward. So what does that look like in your life today? I love what verse 35 says in the King James Version. It says, also the children of those that had been carried away, which were come out of captivity, they offered the burnt offerings. You're the children. You're the next generation. What choice are you going to make? Are you going to journey onward? Are you going to take that next step into what God has for you? I know it's a battle. I know what the enemy's whispering to you, because he's whispering it to me. I know the pain. I know the suffering. I know the loss. I thought I had lost a lot when I named Journey Grace Journey, based on that worship song. We journey onward in spite of all that we've lost. I thought I'd lost a lot in 2006 when the Lord gave me that name. I had no idea. But God's calling us to rise up, to stand up, and keep journeying onward for the glory of His name, for the good of our lives, and really, even more important than that, for the good of all those that He's entrusted to us. So, Vanguard Church, could I have you just hold out your hands? I want to close with a blessing. If you're watching or listening online, I challenge you to hold out your hands right now as well. I always say this, but if you're new, I'm just going to say it again. When I'm back in kids ministry, I always ask the children to raise their hands. And one time I always ask them, why does Miss Tasha want you to hold out your hands? And the best answer ever was when a little boy said, so we can catch the blessing. It's like, yes, hold out your hands. I want to pray a blessing over you. Lord God, we do not come before you as perfect people. We don't come before you with pretenses, because we know the realities of our lives. God, we come to you as broken people, but people who want to journey onward after you. So God, for every person in the sound of my voice right now, those who are here in person, those who are watching online, those who will watch online later. If they're holding out their hands right now to receive this blessing, then God, would you pour it on them? Would you give them the strength they need for today? Would you give them the hope they need for tomorrow? Would you give them that answer to prayer that they're begging you for? Would you give us the restoration that we long for? God, would you give us the courage to walk into what you have for us? Lord God, would you give us the favor of a double portion of your Spirit in our lives and in this place? The good hand, your good hand, is upon all those who seek you. So God, I pray that blessing over every person here and who hears today. May the good hand of the Lord be on them. And I ask all these things in the name of the Son who died for us, by the power of the Spirit, for the glory of the Father, and the good of all those entrusted to us. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.